It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Baby and Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Splits the defense as a kid. Dink, shoot, score! Shoot, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Flyers keep the pressure on here. Right wing board, Sanheim into the corner. Gurianov in front, Konecny, the shot toward the net, bouncing toward the goal. Knocked aside by Crona. Penalty coming up against the Sharks here as Crona makes another save. Another chance toward the net. Another save by Crona. Another drive and another block in front of the net.
I just thought we played a little too slow. I didn't think we had our pace to our game throughout all three zones. Although we're in our D zone, we were slow to coverage. I didn't think we were really ending enough plays and playing on our toes and moving as the puck was moving. And there was just a little bit of a disconnect tonight.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? The San Jose Sharks falling to the Flyers last night by a final of 3-2. And overall, I did not take too much umbrage with that game. The Flyers are a team that is fighting for their playoff lives. And I thought that overall, the Sharks played a pretty decent game. And I don't really expect them to have a whole lot of wins between here and the finish. What I am looking at overall is their effort. And was their effort throughout the game ultimately, good enough at all points? No, there were drops. There were times where they weren't just good enough when it mattered. But ultimately, I'm just looking at, was it a competitive game? The answer is yes. Did you see things from players you liked? The answer is yes. Did you get to see more development time for Magnus Crona? The answer is yes. Does a player like Filip Zadina keep on continuing to prove himself at the NHL level and hopefully earn another contract with the Sharks? And that's a yes to me. And these are the things that I'm coming back to looking at positives. And, you know, those are the things that I think we want to see. Those are the things that I think all of us are expecting to want to see more of. So we'll see where this goes for the rest of the year. But, you know, specifically with Filip Zadina, he now has 12 goals in 59 games played. His previous high was 10 goals through 70-some-odd games played. So this is a career high for him. There are still, you know, about 18 games left this year, so he has more time to add on to it. And I think that in terms of his, you know, low salary cost of what he did previously in his career, I think he's on like a $1.15 million a year deal with the Sharks for 1 year. I would be very interested in bringing him back next year because I look at the upside with players. And Filip Zadina, it seems like he is finding himself. It seems like he is just able to be that much more of an impactful player out there on the ice. And if you watched Mark Smith on the NBC pre-post last night, he talked about the fact that, you know, his game was slowing down in terms of him understanding what he needed to do out there on the ice. There was a simplification. He said that his ice time maybe going down a little bit was allowing him to go up a little bit more in his performance. And I think these are things that the Sharks are learning about a player, are learning about a Zadina and how to best utilize him. And that's ultimately what a good staff and a good organization does. They figure out the best way to utilize a player. If that means a little bit less ice time for Zadina, okay. If that makes him more impactful, yeah, I am all for that. So whatever the Sharks have been doing to figure out Filip Zadina and whatever he has done in his game, whether it's confidence, whether it's rhythm, whether it's timing, whether it's pacing, because that was another thing I thought that Smith brought up that was pretty interesting as he talked about, you know, how he's not just kind of shot out of a cannon everywhere. Sometimes you can be behind the play and sometimes you can be in front of the play. And it doesn't matter whether you're too sped up or too slowed down. If you're not in time, in rhythm with the game, you're not going to be able to make the play. And it looks like he is right now. So that's one to pay attention to. And, you know, Filip Zadina, because I think he's performed the way that, you know, lately, especially the way we've all expected him to be capable of for a long time in his career. Yeah, let's see what exactly can be made. I don't have a problem bringing him back on another short-term contract to see if he can prove it over the next couple of years. And I think that also goes to the fact of like, okay, it's a maximization of the timeline right now. Like, how do you make the most out of this? Okay, what's your best case scenario? that Filip Zadina comes back and is a 20-30 goal scorer next year, and the Sharks are in the wild card picture? Is that the worst thing in the world? I do not think so. And what's the worst case scenario? The Sharks, a team that I would assume all of us are not expecting to really be in the playoff picture next year, don't get that performance from Filip Zadina at a low cost? Okay. Then you're kind of what you expected. So, yeah, I think that for me, I wouldn't mind seeing Zadina around for another year with the Sharks just to see if there's more continuity from one season to the next, to see if he can continue to build upon his gameplay and to see what exactly he can continue to offer for the San Jose Sharks. Another big one out of me for last night was it was another good performance from Magnus Crona. I mean, we go back to what Crona was earlier this season for the Sharks, coming in relief of a game the team gave up 10 goals, of which he was not at fault, or the game against Edmonton where the team just disappeared in front of him, which he again was not at fault, compared to what he's been in the last few games, the last few starts. You look at the game against Dallas, you look at the win against Ottawa on Saturday, and then you look back at last night's performance, and he's been good. I don't have any issue with the way he has played. I was a little bit nervous for him, but now suddenly, the game against Philadelphia, 3 goals against, 38 saves, .927 save percentage. You look at the Ottawa game, 32 saves, 1 goal against, a .969 save percentage. Then you go to the Dallas game, 38 shots against, 2 goals allowed, 36 saves, a .947 save percentage. So that's 3 of his last 4 appearances where he's been above a .925 save percentage. Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week. And he's giving up 2, 1, and 3 goals against. That is a NHL caliber goalie. And I think that's what you want to see. You want to see that development. You want to see him continue to improve. You want to see him continue to show that he has the ability to be a very good player. And yeah, the game against the Islanders, okay, that was a game where the Sharks did not play very well across the board. Still a lot of uncertainty at that point going into the deadline. But now I think that the team has kind of settled in front of him. The waters have calmed, and he's allowed to be a better goalie out there on the ice. I think one of the most important things to me is I am watching him see the puck that much better. In those earlier games, whether it was against Pittsburgh or whether it was against Edmonton, I don't think he was seeing the puck very well. I think the game against the Islanders, I don't put that on him. I don't think he was an issue in that game. But I do think in those earlier performances, he didn't look at ease. He didn't look like he was situated right in front of the net. Whereas last night when you watched the game, he looked confident. He looked comfortable. He looked like he was ready for what was going to happen in front of him. And, I don't particularly put a whole lot of blame against him. And like, yeah, maybe he'll learn to shut the door a little bit quicker or change how he's going to react in certain ways. But, these are the growing pains of a young goalie. And I think that that's exactly what you're trying to get out of these. You're not expecting him to come in and be a Vezina candidate. You're expecting him to come in and try and develop his game. And I think that that's going to be with bumps in the road. No doubt about it. But yeah, I'll take that any day of the week. And he's a big guy out there on the ice. He's 6'4". He's over 200 pounds. I like a lot of what he does in terms of his movement, in terms of his just athletic ability. I think he's still learning, obviously, but I'm going to wait for him to continue to develop because I think, right now he is 23 years old. He is a big body and he's shown vast improvement in 3 out of the last 4 games, looking like an NHL goalie. That is what you expect to see at this time. Guys looking like NHL goalies. And then, we'll see where the team goes from there. We'll see where his development goes. We'll see if he can give himself a chance to be a part of this team next year. I don't know his exact contract status with the CUDA off the top of my head. But again, this is what you want, right? Like, plan for the future. Develop your talent. Give these guys a chance as they get deeper and deeper into the season. Then you look also across the board last night. Luke Cunnan, who is, of course, an emerging leader for this team, he had a 2-point night. Zadina, obviously, with the 2 goals, a 2-point night. Klim Kostin, he had a point. Alexander Barabanov, who I thought was really, really good last night, by the way, and unbelievably, I think he got robbed by the post on one play and then, was denied at the doorstep on another. He looked really, really good. He had a point in last night's game. I thought that across the board, the Sharks played a pretty clean game. I was not disappointed with guys' time out there on the ice. I thought that overall guys were putting in, good efforts, and I'm excited to see what they can do on this continuing road trip as they're back at it on Thursday afternoon, and that's going to be another test for this team. They, obviously have had difficulty on the road as of late, but Pittsburgh, to me, they should want to have some revenge for that loss they had in November. Then you go to Columbus, then you go to Chicago, and then you go to Nashville. Those are all opportunities for the Sharks to win. All right, with that said, let's take a look at last night's highlights. It was the Flyers striking first.
Liam Kostin in his second game as a Shark moves down the left wing and dumps in. Now he's at the side of a net, poking at the puck. Backhand shot by Carpenter hit the side of a net. Sharks keep it in. Vlasic shoots off a Thrun pass, blocked in front. Frost, headman feed. Farabee's got it. He's got a breakaway. He's onside. He's in, and he scores. Well, Joel Farabee was playing, shall we say, a little bit of a gamble there on that play by trying to stay onside, but he got the pass and moved into the offensive zone legally, just barely, and a nice little move gets it by Krona. 1-0 Philadelphia.
Don't love that the breakaway continues to be an issue for the Sharks as they get deeper and deeper into the season. I don't know why it took this long to emerge as a problem and why it's become such specifically a consistent problem. Maybe if it hadn't been for that one stretch where they gave up a number of breakaway goals, we wouldn't view it as much, but it's something that has crept into their game. It's something that I don't know if they can fully fix it before the year is done, but they were definitely better in this area of the game earlier in the season. It's something that you need to rectify when the year is done. Obviously, that can be there's new players with the team. There's guys who are playing in different roles. You know, there's a number of things that can happen out there as to why this is occurring. I just know that it's something that needs to be fixed. But credit to the Sharks, they did come charging back in this one.
And we got 18 seconds left in the Forrester penalty. Here's Cunnan getting a drop, moving it in. Lead pass, breakaway, moving it in, score! A breakaway for Filip Zadina behind the defense, catches the Flyers sleeping. A power play goal by Zadina ties the game 1-1 with 40.3 seconds left in the first period.
Wow. Now that was a good boost for the Sharks to get that game-tying goal before you get into the break, and always you look for a little bit of momentum. Unfortunately, I don't think the Sharks did a great job of carrying that momentum along, but they also didn't let the game get away from them too badly, but Philadelphia did have an answer.
Here's Konechny, left circle shot attempt, fed in front, shot, score! Morgan Frost gets the weird bounce as Konechny took the shot. It got deflected by the defense right to Frost. And Magnus Krona was not able to get over there to make that stop because he was focused on the play before it was deflected. And so Frost gets his second point of the game. This one a goal for Morgan Frost. It is his 10th of the season. It's a power play goal, a tough one for the Sharks to take at 9:20 of this second period. And it's 2-1 Philadelphia.
So the Sharks scored on a power play to make it 1-1. Then Morgan Frost to Philadelphia came back on a power play to make it 2-1. And then how about Filip Zadina on a power play to make it 2-2? The Sharks' power play coming alive as of late.
Here's Barbon off to center. Moves to his right. Cross the line. Drops off to the point. Cunnan to the middle. And it's Kostin shooting it. That's a great save by a challenging Ersson. Rebound. It's Kostin again throwing it across the rink. And it's fed in front. Tipped by Zadina. Score! Kostin gets it over to Cunnan, and then it's in front and tipped home by Filip Zadina. His second power play goal of the game, and it's his 12th of the season. The Sharks tie it up 2-2.
Sharks did a good job of earning power plays last night, 5 over the course of the game. Now, Philadelphia earned 4 as well, so there may have been a little bit of a whistle-friendly nature in last night's affair, but the Sharks have not been great at drawing power plays over the course of the season, so it's for them to get 5 opportunities and score 2, I will take that any day of the week. Unfortunately for San Jose, they were not able to find the go-ahead goal. It was Philadelphia who, on the delayed penalty, found the game winner.
Delayed penalty against San Jose here. Down the right wing side, Sanheim moves in with the extra attacker. Tip it on the point, York. Lawton near boards, drops for Konechny, back for York, back for Konechny, top of the left wing circle, holds the puck, delayed penalty, throws it across the ice, they score! Well, that's Owen Tippett, extra guy coming on a delayed penalty, and Tippett putting his stick down, and that's a really nice pass from the left circle by Konechny through 2 Sharks defenders. Eklund tried to dive to block that, but it got through. And not much of a chance. Short side there on Krona. Flyers lead 3-2.
And from that point, the Sharks just did not have the energy to come back and tie the game, nor find a go-ahead goal, obviously, as well. But, you know, again, I look at last night's game as overall a pretty strong performance. I never thought it was a game that the Sharks looked like they were the quote-unquote better team, but they did not look completely out of sorts. They did not look like the game was completely getting away from them. They just looked like they were not good enough on this specific night. When you're going up against a team like the Flyers, who are fighting for their NHL lives, I'm not going to be too upset right now. They are sitting at third in the Metro. They have 76 points. And for San Jose, you know, on a night where they did see Chicago win to jump ahead to 41 points, Sharks are currently sitting at 39, the bottom of the NHL, relatively what we expected in a part of the overall narrative of the season. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, I am going to play more of my conversation with Drew Remenda that we were not able to get all of in yesterday on the buildup. And we're going to get into some post-game reaction. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here's Fireball off the center. Moves to his right. Across the line. Drops off to the point, Cunnan to the middle, and it's Koskinen shooting it. That's a great save by a challenging Ersson. Rebound, it's Koskinen again, throwing it across the rink, and it's fed in front, tipped by Zadina, score! Koskinen gets it over to Cunnan, and then it's in front and tipped home by Filip Zadina. His second power play goal of the game, and it's his 12th of the season. The Sharks tie it up 2-2.
Yeah, I think he's doing a much better job understanding how to score in this league. You're not going to go coast to coast. You're going to move pucks. You got to get inside more. You know, all those goals have been quick releases, and I think he's having a better understanding of what it's going to take to be productive in this league.
That is Filip Zadina scoring a goal, and David Quinn bringing us back in on a Wednesday morning on Morning Tide after the Sharks' 3-2 loss to the Flyers, the first game of a five-game road trip. Thursday, it is on to Pittsburgh, another 4 o'clock start. Then on Saturday, another 4 o'clock start against Columbus. Sunday, right back at it, 3 o'clock start in Chicago. And then Tuesday, another 5 o'clock start afternoon once again in Nashville before they come back home. Let's hear from Filip Zadina last night, who was asked after the loss if he feels like he's beginning to scratch the surface of his game. Now 6 goals since the other side of the break.
Yeah, I mean, we made it 2 pretty plays. I mean, I got great 2 passes from Kenny, and you know, I put two in, but you know, still wasn't enough because we lost the game, and obviously we would have felt way better if we won that game.
Yeah, wins would be nice, but I am looking at the fact that Zadina is producing, discovering more about his game, and again, what that might mean for the future for him with this organization and for his future overall. He's, again, now a career high in goals at fewer games played, and he's been on fire since the break, scoring 6 goals. So again, his development is going to be something that I hopefully see as a positive aspect of the later stages of this otherwise down year. Zadina was also asked about chemistry with his linemates, particularly Luke Cunnan.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about how long you play together. You know, as long as you play together, play more games, you're more on the ice together, so you know where, you know, each other are. And you know, Kenny and I kind of like, you know, just going along and trying to do the things on the ice, and it's paying off.
Zadina also spoke to what the Sharks have to learn from the situations like last night and how they can get it done as opposed to walking away with the L.
It was tough. Like, you know, we gave up a PK and they played 6-on-5 and it was, they made a good play on our back door. We didn't, you know, we're at the spots where we were supposed to be, and just, you know, they put one in and you know, it cost us the game.
When asked what he saw on that go-ahead goal for Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, kind of holding the middle, and all of a sudden, like, you know, there was a guy from, I don't know, maybe he was coming from the bench and just went behind our backs and, you know, got a backdoor pass and went in.
Zadina was also asked about his fellow Czech mate Tomáš Hertl and the trade to Vegas.
I mean, he meant the same what he meant for the whole organization. He was one of the best, and obviously it's hard to lose a guy like Tomáš. But you know, we wish him well in Vegas, and hopefully he'll be one of the best there.
And I do think that having other Czech teammates for Zadina has allowed his game to thrive, because you had Tomáš Hertl here, you had Jan Ruda here, you still have Jan Ruda here, even if he was out of the lineup last night. Also, Radim Šimek, another individual from the Czech Republic who was allowed, you know, just, I think, a little bit of a level of comfort for Filip Zadina coming into this organization and looking for a kind of fresh start to his career. But all beneficial, I think, for a Filip Zadina. And I also think that all those guys are really good dudes. Šimek, super good dude. You know, Tomáš Hertl, I don't have to tell you, super good dude. Jan Ruda, though, great dude, great dude. Filip Zadina, always down to talk, always interesting, always just fun. So, yeah, I think that was another factor. Having a lot of teammates from his, you know, home country has allowed Zadina to have a good year, even if two of them, and Šimek and Hertl, are now gone. It still gave him a base on which to stand early on and find his footing. When asked if he had talked to Tomáš since the trade?
Yeah, he just spoke a little bit, but, you know, nothing important. Just, you know, we wished him good luck and you know, hopefully he'll go, you know, as far as he could, as he can in Vegas.
So, yeah, I think they're all happy for Tomáš Hertl to get this opportunity. I know that, you know, Ruda and Zadina and Hertl and Šimek all hung out because of the Czech background, but now they have to watch their teammate go on to what would appear in the short term as greener pastures with a chance to win. So I think they were all happy for Hertl. I wanted to switch gears now and get into a conversation I had with Drew Remenda yesterday. I was not able to fit it all in on the buildup, but we segue here talking about Mikael Granlund and just how good he has been for the Sharks as of late.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love talking to him too. I mean, he's they're awesome. And Zetterlund and Eklund and Mario, there's some good pieces. Hopefully Logan, knock on wood, comes back. There's some good pieces here. And Mackenzie Blackwood has just shocked me about how good he still is. You know, you saw him in Jersey and he went through some injuries and never really was healthy there. Now he's going to be back very, very soon. So there are some pieces, but the future, now I know what potential is something you haven't done yet, but the future, if we do it right and we draft properly, and Mike's got a bigger staff and they've been working hard, like trying to find the right guy. And if you get the right draft pick, then maybe that whatever year, however long this is going to be, is short. So yeah. I think, and the key will be not that the drafting and development, yes. Having the guys here, yes. But the key will be when Mike is able to, because of salary, because of the guys who have moved on, adding the right pieces at the right time.
Yeah.
That will be when your team starts to go up on the rise, in my opinion.
Not that I would ask you to speak for him, but what do you think is going through Logan Couture's head right now?
Well, we've had the same injury. For Logan, I think it's two things. One, frustration. Because this is the type of injury where my doctor told me. He said, because he knows me, we've known each other for a long time. He said, you're going to hate the rehab. I said, what is the rehab? And he went, nothing. Don't do anything. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop running. Stop being on the treadmill. Stop doing martial arts. Stop. Which he was right. I hated it and I ignored him. And that's why I've still got it. Logan. So the frustration there is because you can't do anything to rehab it. If you hurt your shoulder or hurt your leg or your knee or whatever, you can work and rehab it, yeah. Right? You start working out and you start feeling better. I'm on the path to progress. And this type of injury also is when you think I'm over it, I feel good, great. You go out and skate, you go out and you work the bag or you spar or you hit the treadmill. After you do that, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, geez, you know, it's back.
Yeah.
And so when you go through it, it's frustrating. And then there's a fear for Logan. He's admitted this. There's a fear for Logan that this might be it for his career because he's never dealt with anything like this before.
Yeah.
So for him, and he talked about it, that, yeah, it's going through his head. Is this the end of my career? Which, you know, who knows? His was more severe than mine. Brett Hedekin's gone through it too. Brett was fine after about 6-7 months. So it's a frustrating injury, but it's also fearful because you can't get surgery for it. You can take a shot, but it just doesn't last very long. And sitting around, you feel like you're just wasting away. You feel like you're wasting your time.
And Logan has the type of mentality, A, that makes sitting around very, very difficult. But I am sure that he's the type of guy who will exhaust every avenue to come back. I have no doubt of that. Like, he will try everything.
He played a playoff series without a jaw, without any teeth in his lower teeth. You know, his jaw was broken. It was just hanging there. This guy's a warrior. Yeah. He's gone through so much. And so you feel bad for him. But what a difference there was in the team when he was back.
I know.
What a difference. If anybody questioned, I don't think anybody did, but maybe I think people from the outside looking at our team question Logan Couture on his impact with the team and his leadership ability. Just look at that stretch of games when he was back in the lineup. Amazing the difference in the team.
And I would always tell anyone who would ever question how good of a leader Logan Couture was, just to go look that when he was through his time in the playoffs, the only person with more goals that was an active NHL player was a certain Russian player who you may have heard of. He's pretty good. Won a cup with Washington, but Logan was second to him. You know, the biggest moments, he came alive. And that, to me, that's the type of leadership that everybody can follow.
And I always go back to Vegas game 7. And my boys and I are at Boston Pizza in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, watching that game because I was exiled for a while. And we're watching that game. And when they get that power play and score the first one, Logan, that's one. Yeah. That's one. That's one of the greatest. That would be on a t-shirt for me. That would be on a poster. That's one. Because that's when Donovan, my son, looked at me and said, Trusky, they're winning this game. And I went, calm down, son. He went, they're winning this game. And sure enough, they ended up doing it and do what they did. So that Logan is, well, again, pretty hard to say anything negative about Logan and the type of person he is and the type of player he is.
We're almost 5 years on from that game, Drew, but I read a story a couple years ago about a woman who either was at that game or was watching that game. And it was the same time she was doing a cardiac monitoring thing for 24 hours or a week or something like that. And the doctor got the results and said, what were you doing at about 8 o'clock at night on April 23rd? And she thought about it for a second and said, oh, that was when the Sharks came back. And I guess the doctor laughed. He's like, oh my God, it was. But it's just, you hear little things like that. And that was such a great moment. Like I said, 5 years ago though, that was when Hurdle lined up with the team. That was when things were different. It didn't feel like that was 5 years ago, one day at a time. Just like we can't say where this team will be 5 years from now.
Right. But you know, going back to our original, but I think Mike, with that trade, has accelerated at least the opportunity to get the team going in the right direction sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And Greer said the team was not as good as was worse than he expected it to be. You can't ignore the man injuries. I don't know if the Sharks are still at the top. I would imagine they still are. That's a huge factor. No one saw Logan Couture only playing a handful of games. You know, that's a big one. Mikael Granlund got hurt, on the second shift of the season? You know, like these are all Mikko Sturm missed time.
Hurdle, Sturm, all four centers. There were very few games.
Benning's been out.
Very few. Yeah, yeah. Matty Benning was the other one, But very few games where all four centers were in the lineup together. And I want to say it's literally a handful, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it had. I want to say it was like one or two, if more than.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because I forgot about Nico being hurt with the hand injury when Logan and Tomas and Granlund were in. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, because Luke had to move Cunningham had to move to center. Of course, yeah. Carpy came in. Carpy came in and played center. By the way, there's another guy.
Yeah.
Ryan Carpenter. I like him.
Yeah, he's great.
I like his play. Yep. You want to talk about versatile and where do you need me, coach? And he goes.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a guy you like to have around for sure.
All right, we're out of time. I will see you all on Thursday afternoon on the buildup as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Pens. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.